Welcome to episode 8 of Unraveling Karma, an evolutionary astrology podcast to support you in deepening self-understanding and making changes for the better. My name is Tom Jacobs. I'm an evolutionary astrologer and psychic medium in Los Angeles. You can find me on the web at tdjacobs.com and offer some nice articles and original natal reports and some interesting stuff there. Go check it out. And today I have two listener questions for you, and each has to do with relationships. So it's a little, it's a little pre-inauguration love theme. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. So the first one comes from Quinn, whose birth data are July 30th, 1953, at 8:15 a.m. in Macomb, Mississippi. That's MCCOMB. Mississippi. And her question has to do with there are two men in her life, and she's just got different dynamics working with each one, and she feels that one is kind of the one for her, and he kind of feels that she's the one for him, but they're still kind of dancing around each other. So I'm going to kind of distill the couple paragraphs that that Quinn wrote to me and kind of turn it around back to her chart and kind of talk about some things that are happening right now. The first thing that I see, and so when you make up this chart for Quinn, also add in the true black moon Lilith. If you're doing it on astro.com, you can add H13, that's H13 in the extra bodies, hypothetical points, asteroids box on the extended chart selection page. You're also going to want to add in asteroid 20300, Arjun Suri. And let me see if there's anything else. That might be the only special ones I'm adding for this. So there are a couple things happening with relationships. The first thing is that the planet Uranus is transiting over your natal Arjun Suri in Pisces in the seventh house. Arjun Suri has to do with our relationship with our conscience. So why we do things, you know, where did we learn our rules for doing something, or how did we decide how things should get done? Who's the final voice in our life? Like, who's the final authority? Where do we ask the important questions? And yours is in the seventh, so you may actually, look for other people to strengthen your relationship with conscience. So as Uranus is in the seventh house and going over this marker of relationship with conscience, why are you doing what you're doing is a big question. So that's the first thing about relationship stuff. The next thing is your progressed sun, a little less than a year ago, hit Libra in the first house. So when the progressed sun goes from Virgo, which is about discrimination and improvement and trying to perfect something, and really an analytical sense, when that goes from Virgo to Libra, the progressed sun being about our evolving way we develop a coherent sense of self. When it leaves that analytical side, which is about perfection, when it hits Libra, which is about learning to find balance, we naturally shift into having this priority of having relationships. You know, all kinds of relationships count, not just romantic relationships. And even in that one, not just mate relationships, but all relationships. So what you're adding to your personal repertoire is more understanding of how to be in balance with other people. So that's the second thing about this relationship stuff. And the third of the four things I want to mention, progressed Venus is just about to go from Leo, all the red colors on the chart look alike to me, and sometimes it's about to go from Leo in the 12th house into Virgo. And when it does that, it's hitting your true black moon Lilith, which is at 2 minutes, 0 degrees and 2 minutes of Virgo in the 12th house. What this means is that your evolving value system, your evolving way of relating to other people needs to include Lilith. Lilith is our instinctive wild nature. You can check out my site, check out other podcasts, check out some other interviews I've done from my site about Lilith to really get a flavor of that. But basically, your instinctual desire, your connection to your body, you know, the messages that your body gives you, this needs to inform your relationship choices. And then the fourth thing about this is this retrograde Chiron This is natally in Capricorn in the fifth house. And what that means is there's a wounding to your playful, expressive side. So what I'm just kind of intuitively getting is that you've done a lot, you made a lot of progress with being able to come out and be playful and have fun. And yet, so when you look at these relationships and you understand what, you know, how your relationships, how you have them, how you choose them, how you operate in them, given these things, you know, Uranus transiting your seventh wants to shake things up. Progressed Moon hitting Libra wants to find new levels of fairness, harmony, and balance. And then progressed Venus about to go into Virgo, which is about discrimination, choosing, making choices, and also on that Lilith, so that your instinct needs to come into play. What I really want to leave you with, given all this stuff, is the way that you have relationships necessarily has to change right now. Not that either of these two guys needs to disappear, or that, you know, neither of them is a good guy for you. It has nothing to do with that. But it has everything to do with how you have relationships and why. What's fair? You know, are you having fun? Are you enjoying yourself? Are you really, really fully expressed? Are you connected to your instinct? Are you, you know, prepared to make choices about relationships, even if it means you're not in relationships? Because that's part of progressive Venus hitting Virgo, where we have to say, if this doesn't work for me, and if this relating style doesn't work for me, I have to say no thank you, because Virgo is a lot about choosing. So one thing I suggest to you is to make peace with this idea that you're not in the relationship place that some part of you wants to be in. You mentioned in your email to me that you set your intentions and you make yourself available for what you want and you project that. And so I just wonder if all of these things happening, the progressed Sun hitting Libra, the progressed Venus hitting Virgo and on your Lilith, and you know, Uranus on this seventh house Argent Suri, if you're supposed to be kind of in a no man's land right now, kind of in a holding pattern, in order to evaluate any old patterns that you might still have. You know, one of the foundations of evolutionary astrology is that people change over time. And there's no set age that something should happen. You know, there's no set age that somebody should get married, or there's no regulation on anything that happens in our lives. We're always on this journey, this unfolding journey of learning about what it's like to be here on Earth and learning how to be energy, spirit, etc., in a human physical body. So you are exactly where you need to be. You are seeing exactly what you need to see. You're learning exactly what you need to learn. And if you can trust that and learn to see how what you're experiencing is actually a gift from other people, they're showing up to help you see things about yourself. If you can see that they are helping you see things about yourself, then you're going to be able to make those choices, make the right choices when it's the right time to make those right choices. And then maybe the last thing I want to touch on for you, it is a transit. It's transiting Pluto. And it's right now transiting Capricorn in your fourth house, and it's in orb now of squaring your natal moon in Aries in the seventh house. This is another indication of relationships needing to change. You know, natal moon has to do with what we need to do to make ourselves happy. It's also our desires, what we want, kinds of things that we want to make us happy. And it is our emotional nature and our indicative of family and history and stuff like this. But really the core of it is what we need to do to make ourselves happy. And so yours is in Aries in the seventh. So a big part of what you need to do to make yourself happy is to find the right kind of relationships for you. And so for you to make yourself happy, part of it is being in relationship. So as Pluto in Capricorn in the fourth squares, a square is always friction, squares this natal moon in the seventh, your assumptions about relationships need to be overturned. Pluto squaring your moon doesn't have to be disastrous. If you look it up on the web or in astrology books, you might find a lot of naysaying things that say that it's going to be the, you know, utter destruction of your emotional life and your home. It doesn't have to be, but something has to change, and be willing to see what your be the a good strategy is being willing to see what your assumptions are about relationships. Why should you have them? Who are the people that you pick? It's kind of a repeating theme for you with all of these progressions and these transits. There, you know, I haven't highlighted everything that's happening in your chart, but all of a sudden, a lot of stuff is happening for you about relationships, and your natal moon is in the seventh house. So for you to kind of revisit whatever patterns and expectations, some people with moon in the seventh think they have to be in a relationship, but the healthy side of moon in the seventh is having the right kinds of relationships that support you in expressing emotion, in building the kind of life that you want to live. So maybe you're just getting a lot of invitations, these Venus Libra invitations to think about, or at least become more aware than you ever have been of why you make the choices that you make. So I hope that's helpful to you, and I appreciate your question. Thank you for writing. And the second chart for this episode is from Christina. And she writes basically that everything in her life is going well and is on track, and she's happy with it, except her relationships. She just isn't having them. The guys she dates who are her own age, who just she feels like a waste of time. You know, all of her friends are with people, and so she's kind of like wondering when it's her turn. So we're going to look at her chart here. Her birth date are November 6th, 1981, at 5:06 p.m. in Voorhees, New Jersey. Voorhees is spelled V like Victor, Voorhees like Samuel. And the first thing I see is retrograde Chiron. Oh, yeah, conjunct to retrograde Eros in the first house. So let me tell you what I'm going to use here, the little other bodies. So again, black, true black moon Lilith, if you're on astro.com, H13. And I'm going to be using Eros, which is asteroid 433. And I think that might be it. Well, I'm also going to use Juno, which is easy to find. Juno and Vesta, probably, because those are involved with the sun in the seventh house. Okay. So the first thing I see is a retrograde Chiron in Taurus, conjunct retrograde Eros in Taurus in the first house. This Chiron is right on the ascendant, 2 minutes into the 12th house. It's pretty much in the first, and it's right there. It's so strong on the ascendant. Now, this is opposing a Scorpio Sun, which is conjunct Vesta in Scorpio in the sixth, and it's opposing the asteroid Juno and Uranus in Scorpio, both in Scorpio in the seventh. And oh, this is one of the part of this. Pluto in Libra in the sixth house, conjunct Jupiter Mercury, and then Venus in the eighth house at 1.5 degrees Capricorn. So the first thing is this Chiron business. Chiron has to do it's just many, many different things. It's a very big story of how to really give justice to someone's Chiron analysis. And I've been doing some new information that I've been channeling basically from some discarnate folks about Chiron and what it really means and how to really work with it. And one tiny piece of that story is that it represents a wounding from our infancy. And so we hear that the Chiron is about, you know, the wounded healer, and he couldn't die, and blah blah blah. That's actually a secondary wounding that's easier for us to process than a rejection. It's easier for us to recognize and understand. We don't process it really than a rejection from our parents when we're infants. So for you, there is a root rejection of your body. Inadvertently, somebody in your family reacted to some way that you used your body, whether you moved or whether you touched yourself in a certain place, and they just flipped out. This is also in Taurus, so there's a sensual nature to it, your own sensual nature. And it's with Eros, which is about creative passion. So what we're talking about is some kind of thing when you're very, very, very young that somebody around you construed as inappropriate, use of your body or relationship with your body. So there, if you're carrying a subconscious expectation that you're going to be rejected and that you don't get to have, you know, you don't get to get to participate with other people and use your body, you know, for good things because you have this kind of underlying issue about this chironic wounding, about this expectation of rejection, that's one thing. It's opposing the sun, and it's opposing this Uranus. So the Uranus in the seventh has to do with that you need to have, just natally speaking, that you need to have relationships in which you feel free and can be as original as you want. So you actually need to choose original kinds of relationships. That it's opposing this Chiron Eros that's rising in the first house says to me that you might not choose, you might not risk choosing different kinds of relationships if you're expecting some kind of rejection, that maybe you're looking for something standard, something expected, you know, because you're maybe just trying to get into safe harbor, so that you're not experiencing that kind of rejection. Having it oppose the sun, it's 6 degrees, your sun's at Fortune Scorpio, then we're you know, the Chiron wounding also opposes your sense of self. But Scorpio is essentially about relationships. It's about deep bonding. It's about trying to bond with other people. So I just want you to know that if there is anything that you are holding about old, I mean, in the past rejections, then that's what you're going to be projecting, and you're going to, you know, have that come to you. You know, another part of this, the Jupiter, Pluto, Mercury in Libra in the sixth, they are square your nodal axis. So Pluto for everybody is the soul's deepest desires and intentions and the soul's deepest wounding. And in Libra, we're talking about fairness and harmony. And Libra is where we learn relationships. So part of your Plutonian wounding from other lives could have to do with specific wounding in relationships. It's conjunct Jupiter and Mercury, and what this tells me is that from the karmic standpoint, I mean, in past lives, and then so today to some degree, you're going to have some question. You're going to not understand something fully about how to think about relationships, how to risk having relationships, how to imagine better relationships, how to communicate your feelings about relationship, all these things wrapped up together in this trio that square the nodal axis. It just means that we're kind of vexed or blindsided by these things, and we're not sure how to do it. So the solution to this is in what I just said about those things about relationship, imagination, risk, that kind of thing, and communication, looking at your habits and learning to make different choices. That's how you undo that. You say, because in order not to get hurt, you're going to rely on your habit. And so, but in order to change your karma, you have to change your habit. So look at what you believe about relationships. Look about the kinds of relationships you think you're supposed to have, the kinds of relationships you think you deserve or could have, and kind of evaluate those assumptions, go about your daily life, encounter people, and look at how parts of you want to keep you stuck in habit, and learn to make some different choices with that. Let's see. The other thing is that's really important is this natal Venus at 1.5 degrees Capricorn in the eighth house. What this means is that, you know, natal Venus has to do with what we're attracted to, and it's also our value system. So it's the kinds of people we're looking for. And you're looking for Capricorn, you know, you're looking in a Capricornian way for kind of Capricorn people in the eighth house. And this has to do with, perhaps it has to do with emotional sobriety. Perhaps it has to do with emotional intensity, talking about Capricorn in the eighth house. We're talking about mature. We're talking about not frivolous. We're talking about people who can look you straight in the eye, because we're talking about the eighth house. So that's the kind of natal setup for you on what kinds of the kind of mate might be the right kind of mate for you. But, you know, you actually have to show yourself as somebody who can have that kind of eye contact and that intensity and that honesty in order to find that person. I'm bringing this back to this Chiron Eros in Taurus in the first. If you try to kind of hide yourself because of an old kind of wounding, people are not the right kind of people. The people that vibe for you, that do it for you, might not even be on your radar, and you might not be on their radar if you're holding back who you are. But Pluto, transiting Pluto, is over that Venus right now. So you're getting the invitation to totally Tear apart what you think relationships are about, the kinds of people you look for. Maybe this is a little echo with Quinn, with all of the stuff she had going on with reevaluating Venus and seventh house things. A little similar for you. Pluto transiting conjunction to your Venus asks you to tear down everything you think about what relationships are for, why you have them, who you think you're supposed to have them with, where they're supposed to go, you know, every single assumption, take it apart, dismantle it, let it go, and then start over. Lots of times when Pluto goes over Venus or Pluto hits the seventh house, you know, one of Venus's houses, relationships fall apart. Existing relationships fall apart. If you haven't had that happen, you know, great, I guess. But if you haven't had that happen, just understand that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for you to totally upgrade your understanding of, your expectations, and your intentions about relationship. So I hope that's helpful for you. I mean, you know, on one level, your question was, when is it my turn? And you know, I don't do a predictive thing, even though I do psychic work. I don't make myself available to do predictions. But I can just tell you that if you make yourself available for transformative relationships, Pluto going over your Venus could definitely bring a person or persons, perhaps as yet unknown, to support you in radically tearing apart what you think relationships are for. If you make yourself available, this can be an amazing transformative transit. It will be difficult in some ways to challenge your assumptions and to give up what you think should happen. But you know, you might draw kind of really scorpionic person to you representing Pluto in the eighth house, or Pluto in Capricorn, really Capricornian person who can look you straight in the eye and really want to know you as you, but you have to make yourself available for that and keep your radar up, keep your eyes and ears open for when these people pass right in front of you, because they're actually everywhere. You know, so what are you available for? What are you open for? What do you want? You're supposed to upgrade that and change that right now. So I thank you for sending that question, being the second relationship question for this episode 8. And I hope that helps you along in this process. That's the end of episode 8 of Unraveling Karma. My name is Tom Jacobs. I'm an evolutionary astrologer and psychic medium in Los Angeles, California, USA, Earth. And you can find me on the web at tdjacobs.com. I do private consultations of psychic mediumship and intuitive counseling and evolutionary / karmic astrology. And you can find out all that information at tdjacobs.com. If you have a question you would like to have answered on a future episode, email it to karma@tdjacobs.com and include the question and your full birth data, and let me know if I can use your first name in the podcast.